I'd like to welcome you to the latest in our series of Global Health Perspectives podcast. My name is Derek Yach. I'm the president of the Foundation for a Smoke-Free World. And we've been carrying out a series of podcasts for the last many months during the course of the pandemic, focusing on what people are doing to advance and end to smoking in a wide variety of ways. Today, it's a real pleasure to have Elise Rasmussen, who leads the GTNF, an acronym that she will explain when she gets started talking. But it brings together the tobacco industry, academics involved in tobacco control, a wide range of NGOs, to really discuss progress, impediments, issues that are going to be important to policymakers over the next few years, and hosted the last really intriguing virtual meeting that really, I think, displayed the best of how we can engage across geographies, disciplines, backgrounds in very efficient and very exciting ways that made you almost feel as if you were there and present. So let me warmly welcome Elise. And really, I think it'd be great for you just to give us a sense about how you went about creating the GTNF conferences, what it stands for. And then I think what people really want to hear is what made this unique in terms of the way you structured the very meeting.
Well, thank you very much, Derek, for inviting me to join you today. It's truly an honor. The GTNF stands for the Global Tobacco Nicotine Forum. We started this event in 2008 in Rio de Janeiro, and we have continued in a physical element ever since, going from Bangalore, India, to Brussels, to New York City. And this year we were supposed to be in Seoul, South Korea. As we all know, the current situation impeded that ability, but however, it did give us an opportunity to go truly global. As a pioneering virtual event, we embraced the challenges. We attracted 1,500 delegates, where a normal GTNF, we have 250 to 300 participants. We had 150 journalists from more countries around the world than ever before. As you say, we're renowned, obviously, as are most conferences, for our physical event, whether it be in wonderful places like Seoul or New York City or Washington, D.C. What stands out is, of course, the quality content, excellent speakers, and a place to meet and discuss. This year, we were able to have 86 speakers from 22 different countries join us on our platform, where people could watch keynote speeches and panels. As you said, there was a real challenge to make it feel like the real thing. One of the ways we were able to do that was by having an engagement area with virtual booths that were modeled and looked just like the real thing. In fact, I was told that someone viewed the platform and thought it was a photograph of a booth from a exhibition. So delegates could still learn about the foundation, for example, and talk to people who were staffing it. We also had the networking cafe, where people entered a virtual room and clicked on any table they liked to meet people and join the conversation.
Yeah, no, I think it was really amazing, particularly when you could, you felt you were walking out of your session into an engagements area, and all that was missing was a cup of coffee to actually talk, but the actual interface between the people was very good. And I think that really allowed us to dig deeply in, for example, in the Asia sessions, into having colleagues from across China, many other parts of Asia, Europe and Africa. And I think there were some new players I hadn't encountered before. It'd be good just to tell us a little bit about Smoor and Relax, which I think to many people are companies that are unknown, yet are clearly starting to play an important role in the harm reduction space.
Well, that's right, Derek. We were very privileged. We've actually had S'more and Vespresso as sponsors for several years, but Relax was a new sponsor this year. We were very excited to have them participate. We have a responsibility to make sure that each region has interesting content tailored just for them. And that content, I think, attracted many new players. We also had the Horizon, Innovation on the Horizon panel, which, of course, S'more and Relax both participated in. The G in our name stands for global, so our agenda has to have global appeal, and by having global appeal, we were able to attract global speakers and panelists. In Asia, we all know that the prohibition of tobacco harm reduction products is an issue, and you very graciously participated on the comparative regulation panel, who is getting it right and who could do it better. And you have subsequently written in editorials that, sadly, there are far more people who are getting it wrong than right. However, when we transverse over to the Americas, we had the Future of Nicotine panel based on the FDA's 5 test. And we had some really good news with the MRTP panel and the oral nicotine panel. When you move again and travel to Europe and Africa, which we did in between Asia and the Americas, we focused on illegal tobacco products, which is a hugely topical issue right now, not least of all, because during the height of COVID, as you know, South Africa banned tobacco products. People didn't stop smoking or vaping less. They simply had to buy it from illicit channels. We were very privileged to have some legal and government experts from within Asia, in fact, discussing this topic. We may not have been able to have benefit of these voices in a physical environment because they probably could not have given us 4 or 5 days of their time. So this virtual event gave us the opportunity to provide something for everyone.
Yeah, and I think you're right that we've saw some of the early results of the negative consequences of the COVID pandemic, the rise of illicit trade, particularly in South Africa, very well documented. And I think looking forward, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens given that governments are short of revenue. And they will probably do what governments usually do, see how they can raise taxes. And excise taxes on tobacco are obviously an easy prey. Hopefully they'll go about raising them in ways in which they will differentiate between the most harmful and the least harmful, which could solve two problems, revenue rises, as well as addressing the health consequences of combustible cigarettes. I think another panel that I thought was very, very interesting was the one on modeling, where you really did bring together some of the people on the cutting edge of looking at models that ask the question, what if we were to accelerate harm reduction? What would that do for long-term deaths and disease? And I think many members of the panel were giving us both good, sound methods. The hope is over the next few years, we'll get stronger data to support that. I'd love any of your other sort of high-level impressions, and specifically, I know that you have a particular interest in the role of women in leadership and how this, that you are thinking down the line about that being an important driver of change for the future of harm reduction and tobacco companies.
Well, that's a very good point. And I think Joe Murillo also brought out a point as the chairman of the GTNF when he commented in his closing remarks that the industry is undergoing mass change because of innovation, but they will only succeed when the regulatory and policy frameworks are risk proportionate. So it shows me that we've come a long way since the GTNF in Rio. And you mentioned the modeling, which was, you know, very important and frankly unimaginable to discuss in such great depth 12 years ago. In fact, the foundation didn't even exist back there then, and here you are making an important announcement on the Tobacco Transformation Index. And you and your colleagues were responsible for the gender documentation that we discussed very heavily in Washington, D.C. So clearly diversity is very important, and that's why we have consistently devoted an entire panel to all types of diversity. And I think that when you hear from speakers addressing their leadership abilities and what companies are recognizing and doing, it's quite similar to what we say about scientists, that scientists, women, leaders, they need to be given the space to research without fear or favor. And this is very important, as you know, ultimately space and dialogue are the keys.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think that was also what came through, was the spirit of respectful dialogue, where you know, you have people from academia, some first time in your conference, clearly a little nervous about participating and fearful that maybe they'll be harassed by colleagues for even taking part. But I think feeling very comfortable as the meeting went on, that it's a place to actually share ideas that can advance an end to smoking in a very positive, respectful way. And for that, I think the forum and the creation of the meeting really is a huge way for all of us to make progress. And frankly, the kind of discussion that you now are able to foster there is the kind of discussion that should be happening in the corridors when the WHO looks at progress on the Framework Convention, how it makes progress. Whereas in contrast, as you know, they have a very tight list of exclusions who may not be there, limiting the ability of scientists on the cutting edge of what it will take to change, or policymakers with deep understanding about regulations that will make a difference. Elise, let me just end off by asking you a question about next year. And it's tough to start thinking about it, but let's hope that we will be back on the traveling road again. Will you be going for an in-person, a virtual, or some combination of a meeting?
Well, bringing together brilliant minds and forging a path for the industry to shape the future transparently is very important to us. Hopefully, we'll be able to do that physically in Seoul. However, I do feel that we benefited greatly by having the public health representation that you mentioned, that again may or may not have been as comfortable in a physical location over several days. So I do feel that there is room for a hybrid. How this will work and how this will transform will be exciting for us, because we are the pioneering event. And I think that you know, the global exchange of ideas and opinions is paramount and synonymous with the GTNF. So regardless of how we do it and where we do it, the one thing you can be sure of is we will do it.
Yeah, I have no doubt about that. Well, let me thank you enormously, Elise. And let me also tell people that for more about us, please go to podcast@smokefreeworld.org. And then I can't resist saying, also take a look at www.tobaccotransformationindex.org, which has the details and the data from the first review of the top 15 tobacco companies in the world that sell about 90% of the world's cigarettes. And as usual, please stay safe. We are still in the midst of a pandemic, and sadly, it looks like we'll be in this position for many months to come. In the meantime, let me thank Elise again, and we'll be in touch again soon. Thank you.
Well, Derek, it was a real privilege. I also want to mention that please visit www.gtnf.org. It's not too late to register and hear the playbacks of your panel discussion on comparative regulation, who is getting it right and who could do it better.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Derek.